Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
No stranger to our program, it's always such an honor to have Dr. Everett Piper. Dr. Piper is a retired university administrator, conservative commentator, columnist for the Washington Times. He was president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University from August 22 until his retirement in May of 2019. He is the author of Why I Am a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. He also wrote Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If our country today could be compared to one huge gathering in one single room, I would call Everett Piper one of the few adults in the room. He's showing courage by speaking a truth so simple that one wonders why we aren't hearing this from all of our evangelical leaders. But we're not. Dr. Everett Piper, welcome back to our program.
Oh, Bob, it's always an honor to join you on your show. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's really my pleasure. Now, we've been talking on this program, and people all over the country have been talking, about Josh McDowell. I've offered my own comments about this apology. I understand you know Josh personally. You also know the atmosphere these days in so many high-level Christian organizations. So I'm just dying to hear your take on the controversial Josh McDowell apology.
Well, I do know Josh, and I consider him a close friend. I'm honored that he has blessed me with his friendship and his mentorship of me. So I respect Josh a great deal, and I don't want anybody to hear my answer to your question as if I'm speaking on his behalf. I have no right to do so, and I wouldn't want to get him in more hot water.
No, that's entirely understood. Absolutely.
Okay, so here's my take in listening to what you said, and as I've read the Josh stuff and I've read his apology. First of all, what did he say that was wrong? The irony is, what he said is exactly what the critical race theorists say themselves. He said that blacks are born into a system that disadvantages them. That's what he said. And that's exactly what critical race theory claims, is that blacks are born into a system that's systematically racist and disadvantages them. So why in the world would the CRT proponents be offended with what Josh just said? He said what they say. Now, they would say his point was different, but his point, that's another issue. What he said was the exact same thing that they said. In fact, we know that in the Black History Museum in Washington, D.C., that to speak of issues like pull yourself up by your bootstraps, everybody can achieve the American dream. We know that those are considered phrases that are laden with white privilege and that they are offensive to the CRT proponents. So when Josh comes forward and says that blacks are born into families that do not give those black children the same opportunities for education and for career promotion and success. Again, I repeat myself, Bob, that's what CRT claims itself. So why are they demanding that he apologize? That's the irony here. What I find in the progressive left is they're always sawing off the very rhetorical branch upon which they sit. They say, I can't tolerate your intolerance, and you're an intolerant individual, therefore I won't tolerate you. They saw off the branch upon which they sit.
It just makes your head spin.
They say, I hate hateful people. I'm sure nothing is sure. I know nothing can be known. I'm absolutely confident that there are no absolutes. And then when somebody like Josh acknowledges a system that disadvantages a certain group of people, which is exactly what systematic racism claims that he's criticized for. That's point number one. Now, let me make my next point much more brief. I wouldn't have apologized because he didn't say anything wrong. And second, you never bow the knee to the rage mob. Never. Never bow the knee to the rage mob, because when you bow the knee, they're going to have your head. Another way to look at it is Cranmer recanted and he still burned. So you never bow the knee. You just don't, especially if you haven't done anything wrong. Now, finally, is it a fact that a black family, by and large, not all blacks, is disadvantaged because of the terrible curse that I would argue progressive whites have placed upon black families, and that is fatherless families. I think it's what, high 60, 70% of black children are born into fatherless families today. Well, of course they're disadvantaged in terms of having the mentoring that comes from a father that teaches them principles of hard work and career progress and success and education. Now, if I were to come on your show and say that Appalachian whites are born into a system where they're not encouraged to pursue education, that would be a fact. And I, in my own background, come pretty close to resembling the very system that I just described to you. So again, what Josh said is could be presented as more factual and more in agreement with CRT than disagreement with it. And frankly, in terms of fatherless families and the difficulties and the challenges that come with fatherless families, Josh nailed it.
And that's exactly what the friend I was quoting from, Mark Walters, as an African-American, has been saying, and so many others. We would hear people like Candace Owens say this. We would hear people like Larry Elder say this. But again, we're dealing with a society that does not want to allow themselves to get confused with actual facts. Do you think, Everett, that somehow people are trying to take it so out of context that they're claiming he gave this generalization that it's not even considered a good standard to work toward? I got the impression that that's the words that they were trying to put in Josh's mouth. Clearly, he did not say that. But I'm just trying to figure out what it is they're trying to claim that he did say.
Well, who knows? I can't read their minds. What I do know is the progressive left's agenda, because I've dealt with the progressive left my entire life as a member of the Ivory Tower and the Academy, making that my profession. I've had to refute this lunacy for the last 30, 40 years of my career. So I can't say exactly what the people that are responding to Josh think. What I can respond to is the overarching agenda. And that agenda is to disparage anybody who believes in conservative values such as personal responsibility, personal culpability, and personal drive and a hard work ethic. What Josh was saying is that he was born into a situation where people taught him those values, and that's a good thing, and he's benefited from that. Others are born into situations where they're not taught those values by and large. Now, you can't, and Josh clearly wasn't saying that every black person is disadvantaged to the same extent as another black person.
Of course not. And anybody must have known that he didn't mean every single family. That's just ridiculous to take it that way.
That would be absurd. Candace Owens, Larry Elder, Thomas Sowell, the list goes on. Clarence Thomas. I mean, all of these individuals have worked very hard and have accomplished just as much as Josh or you or me as the result of working hard. So Josh wasn't painting with a broad brush. He was stating a general truth. And that is, when you're born into a fatherless culture, and I guess I would define 70% of the children being born into fatherless homes, that is a broader definition of a culture, that culture is going to have dysfunctional attributes to it, and therefore you're going to have greater percentages of the children within that culture suffering accordingly. Isn't that exactly what CRT is trying to say from a leftist perspective rather than a biblical perspective?
It is exactly what they try to say. And you could also say that about anybody that grows up in a white family or an Asian family or a Hispanic family. I know a lot of people of a lot of different colors that did not grow up with fathers. And the same thing. They didn't grow up with fathers. They grew up in a one-parent family. The mother tried to teach them as good of a values as she could, but there was still a disadvantage. And you were talking about the people that lived in the Appalachian Mountains. Well, obviously, we know that you could make a comment like that today of white people in the Appalachian Mountains and nobody will blink, because there's certain PC woke rules.
Exactly. And I'll just personalize it here. I grew up in a family. It wasn't Appalachian, but I grew up in a family. I did have a very hardworking dad, but my dad did not have a high school diploma, nor did my mother. So you could argue that I grew up in a situation where higher education was not valued. So what? I mean, yeah, so what?
It didn't seem to stop you from achieving higher education and finally being the president of a college.
Exactly. So it's unbiblical. I'll tie a bow around my argument right here. It's unbiblical to focus on these things. Josh was absolutely right to talk about individual responsibility for success and individual culpability for your sins. he was absolutely spot on when he said that's a biblical model rather than a neo-Marxist model, which blames the system and doesn't accept personal responsibility.
So, Everett, when somebody like Josh McDowell, with the credibility that he has, you're his friend, I've admired him from afar, when he comes and gives a speech that was so right on, and because there's a little bit of squeaking, he pulls the wind out of his own sail, apologizes, he's going to get into counseling, he's going to do listening, he's going to take a hiatus, sabbatical, whatever he wants to call it. What kind of damage is done to the legitimate evangelical Christian community at that point?
Well, that's why I don't think he should have apologized. And again, he didn't ask me my opinion. So this is me talking, not him. And I'll go back to my statement that I started out this episode with. You never bow the knee to the rage mob, because when you bow the knee, they will have your head, because bowing and submission and subservience is not good enough. That's really not what they want. They want your head. And when you do that, you compromise your leadership position for the entire for the army that's looking to you. If you're a general of the army, they want you to stand strong. Josh is a great man. He's a great man with a great track record. And I'm angry that anybody would take shots at him like this at his career, because it's essentially a lie and they know it. They're lying about the man, and they know he's a man that if he has ever hurt anybody, he'd be the first one to apologize for it. And they're abusing this particular media opportunity to insult him and to mock him and to malign him. And by association, me and you and all others who have looked to him as our general in fighting this good fight.
So you're suggesting that maybe they know that by nature the man has such humility that he is one to quickly be reflective and apologize, and that somehow they took advantage of that? They're exploiting that to their own purposes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that anybody is so naive as to ignore the fact that by publicly shaming Josh or someone else with his reputation for integrity and excellence, that if they can get them to capitulate to that shaming, to that shunning, to that public flogging, that it's not just Josh that they're getting at, it's the entire movement that he represents. And they bring the entire movement down a notch.
Dr. Piper, since you're friends with Josh, have you had an opportunity to speak with him personally since all this broke?
No, I dropped him a text message of encouragement, but he hasn't had the opportunity to respond yet. So, no, I have not spoken with him directly.
Okay. Well, then I wanted to bring up something else that you've been involved with recently. I know that this is just one of many things going on in our country, a lot of very grave things going on in our country. You're very outspoken, and I think in a good way, because you speak with clarity, you speak with balance, you speak the truth. And that bothers a lot of people. We're living in times where they just don't want to hear the truth. As you put it, they say that there's absolutely no such thing as truth. But of course, if it's absolute, then they're claiming that was an absolute true statement. You recently wrote an article for the Washington Times called Power of Natural Immunity versus COVID-19 Vaccines. Now, that, of course, is a subject that's been on everybody's mind. What happened with Josh, that's big in the Christian community. But this article of yours, that just dovetails into what's going on all over the country. It was posted on Facebook. Now, hold on to your seats, everybody. You're never going to believe this. Facebook shadow banned it. I know, we're all shocked, we're stunned, we're flabbergasted. Everett, tell us about this article. What exactly did you say that Facebook had such a hard time with?
Well, it was even more than Facebook. It was shadow banned by the entire media establishment. So I write a weekly column. I'm one of the contributing columnists for the Washington Times. My articles come out every Sunday afternoon at about 3 o'clock on the online version of the Washington Times if people want to read them. So I submitted my weekly opinion piece of about 800 words, and I chose in this particular piece to write about something that should be very uncontroversial, and that is natural immunity. It's a good thing. I mean, we've basically known this since the 1800s or thereabout, that natural immunity is actually very important in mitigation of pandemics and epidemics, that this is what is called herd immunity. I mean, this is just common sense science. We know this. This is freshman level biology 101, okay, about natural immunity. Every good mom knows about natural immunity. Every medical doctor has affirmed natural immunity. You and I know, even though we're not medical doctors, about natural immunity. So I wrote an article where I referenced medical data because I'm not a medical doctor and I don't want to pretend to be one. So I wrote this article referencing valid and confirmed medical journals and medical information. It was probably one of the more boring opinion pieces that I've written in recent months. But as fate would have it, as God's providence would have it, this particular piece started trending. How do I know? I had a friend text me saying, do you realize that your Washington Times piece is trending right now? I went to my iPhone, my smartphone, and I noticed on my news feed, my Apple news feed, that my article was at number one, number two, maybe number three at the lowest in terms of the stories that were trending nationally. Now, that's a big deal. You know this, Bob. For a writer like me or a speaker like me, when you've done something that starts trending nationally, that means rather than having 10,000 people read it, you're going to have 100,000 or maybe literally a million or more people are going to read your piece. This is a big deal. My article is trending. Bob, I kid you not, I literally am holding my phone in my left hand. I turned away and looked to the right to do something. And then when I turned back and looked at my phone and my news feed, my article was gone. It hadn't moved from number three down to number five for eight to number 10 as the news started contributor building on the day. It just disappeared. It was gone. So I contacted the Washington Times and I said, something just happened. It's rather odd. I think my article was shadow banned by the media. And the response was immediate from the Washington Times editorial staff. They said, and I quote, yes, you were. Every single column that we have published on natural immunity has been shadow banned. Every single one of them. Now stop and think about that. This is Orwellian. This is the Ministry of Truth, George Orwell's Ministry of Truth. This is Joseph Goebbels in nature in terms of him controlling the propaganda and the media.
And it's coming from the people that are always calling those with conservative values the Nazis. And yet they are constantly using Nazi tactics, Marxist tactics. They throw this stuff out. They project exactly what they're doing on everybody else.
And here's the, you said there, and I, as you well know, I wrote a subsequent article the following week where I said, they're controlling you. They're censoring you. They're silencing you. And then I asked rhetorical questions thereafter, and I said, who's they? We don't even know who they is, but they are deciding what you will read and not read to the extent when somebody writes nothing controversial at all. He just writes a piece on the goodness and the beauty of natural immunity, and it gets shadow banned.
Now, just for people in our audience, I know some people are familiar with the term shadow banned. So I started simply, if you're on Facebook, it may not get as many hits. It may not appear as much. It may not appear at all. But when you say shadow banned, you mean, it, like you said, it's not even in the national news feeds. Would that mean that if I went to something like Google, which has very much bought into mainstream media all the way, if I typed in your name in that article on Google, would it not even appear, or would it appear, but I'd have to go through maybe 150 on down before I'd see it? Tell our audience exactly what that means.
What shadow ban means is that you've been banned. Your article has been banned in a shadowy way. And to the extent that you may not even know it. For example, how would I have ever known that my column was trending had my friend not texted me?
Yeah, you would have just thought it had never caught on if your friend hadn't texted
you. There you go. There you go. So you've got this shadowy character out there that all of a sudden decided that your article shouldn't be read by as many people that seem to be interested in it. So their algorithm decides that your article should be relegated to the back dumpster of columns for the day, when in fact the readership was interested in reading what you had to say. So you don't know. It just disappears. It goes into the shadows. And if somebody isn't on their toes to see what's really happening, you never would know. I never would have known had my friend not have taken a screenshot and sent it to me where I could see on the Hill my article was trending at that time.
Right. So it's not shouted in the sense that you're on Twitter or Facebook and you've been told you're going to Facebook jail or you've been banned. It's just, it's done in a subtle way. They're maybe even hoping you won't notice it. And then if they were to get caught or someone were to bring it to their attention, what would they do? Just, whoa, jumping Jiminy. We didn't mean to do that. It must have just happened because you're not getting good readership. So they're hoping it'll just kind of be shoved under the carpet in a way.
Right. And they could deny it. They could say it never really was trending.
It was a mistake. We didn't mean to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the frightening thing about this whole story, Bob, and you know what it is. How many times, how many dozens, hundreds, thousands of times does this happen every day to the extent that they, whoever they are controlling you and me and everybody listening right now in terms of the ideas that we are allowed to consume.
And you're a big name with so many people following you that it's going to somehow get back to you. Maybe it did this time what you're doing. How many people who may not be as well known as you but still have a significant following are getting shadow banned and they never even know about it? They're just thinking, well, I guess my article didn't catch on the way I was hoping it would.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, in the Cultural Revolution, Mao's Cultural Revolution, Mao decided to control the ideas that were going to be acceptable within his culture. He wrote his little red book, and the Red Guard, all these college students, all these woke snowflakes of Mao's China took to the streets, and what did they do? They canceled everybody. They silenced everybody. They shamed everybody. They made the Josh McDowells of the world apologize, wear dunce caps, say they were sorry. And they controlled the ideas. And the only acceptable ideas were the standard ideas in Mao's little red book. All other ideas were verboten. You couldn't express them. How close are we to doing that with Mark Zuckerberg as the head of this movement rather than Mao? I don't know. The question should cause us great concern, though.
It certainly should. We have only about a minute, Everett. In closing, please say something to the Christian community. Well, there are people in the Christian community and people that just follow my show who are not Christians. An admonition, an encouragement, a stern warning, whatever you want to call it. Some parting words on these subjects we've discussed tonight.
I'm an optimist. Like, I trust the words of Jesus. And Jesus gave us a very clear and explicit promise. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. You can take that promise to the bank. And like Jim Garlow has said on your show and said to me personally, what a wonderful time to be alive. It's not fuzzy. It's not gray territory. It's black and white. The battle line is clear. What a wonderful time to be alive, to fight the good fight. And Jesus has promised us the gates of hell will not prevail.
It is exhilarating. And we want to live this life. We also know we're going to live in heaven. But when everything that's been dear about this life starts to systematically go away, just speaking for myself, it makes me a lot closer to God, and I'm thinking about heaven, and I'm a child of God, and I worry less, and I trust God more. So I agree. It's exhilarating. It is a great time to be alive. Ladies and gentlemen, don't apologize when you don't need to. It only emboldens. We all knew this in grade school. Give the bully half your sandwich on Tuesday. What's he going to do on Wednesday? He's coming back for the rest of your sandwich. You know that. Everett, thank you so much. You are a great man, and I'm proud to know you. You are one of the fewer voices, and the list is getting fewer and fewer, who are speaking the truth amongst evangelical Christians. God bless you, and God bless your courage.
Blessings. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.